first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. If you ever wonder if Paul was a Baptist, you know he was a Baptist for how long he preached. All the way till midnight. And some of you practice only one verse in the entire Bible, and you'll know who you are. And there were many lights in the upper chamber. Lights is probably not a good word. I'm guessing they weren't these kind of lights. What do you think? I'm guessing they're lights that burn oxygen. Where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen, and I like this, into a deep sleep. I mean, he wasn't taking a nap. This isn't tulud manok, if you know what that phrase means for Tagalog speakers. This was tulud mantika. This is a guy that's sleeping like lard. You know how lard sleeps? Tulud manok means to sleep like a chicken. Now, some of you do that chicken thing. This guy was out. I like this story, don't you? It says he fell into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down from the sleep. I've actually had this happen twice. One guy still comes to this church, and another guy used to come to this church. He almost fell out of his chair every Sunday. I like this when somebody is so deep in sleep that they're sliding out of their chair. He fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed and brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Well, we're just going to look really at this concept of habits of the week. Specifically, we're going to deal with the subject of the Lord's Day. Today will not be a preaching time. Today will actually be something of remembrance, reminding us of some things, giving you some answers, maybe putting some things together in your own mind, I hope. So that will be our goal, okay? No preaching and yelling this morning. So if you are one of those that sleep every week that I have told, do not eat donuts, and you still eat donuts and then sleep, today will be your day. Just draw back. What you should do is bring your little blankie. Pull up your blankie and your neck pillow so your neck doesn't jerk. But you know, there are people who don't do that. Some people don't do, they can just kind of, I don't know how they do it, they slide down in that thing and they just. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this day. May you bless our time together. Thank you for your goodness to us. May this be a good morning. Just maybe some reminders and a few ideas. We ask in Christ's name. All right, in your notes, and I don't have notes, and I'm not going to look at your notes, so if I don't, Frenchie's not here, so I'm not bound to fill in dots that he can record for no purpose. In your notes, I start with what I have had, and this is the fourth lesson. We are not what we believe. We are what we love. Love to do and do for love. If I wasn't a coward, I would spend one whole Sunday school just asking you questions of what is it that you do? Because what you have to do in your own life, folks, please look up here. Instead of talking about how you, everybody looks good to themselves. Is that correct? Everybody looks good to themselves. That's the reason we can judge everybody else. Because I'm looking out at you, but I'm not looking at me. And it's just natural. But sometimes you need to start with, as opposed to how you feel about yourself, look at what you actually do. And when I say do, repeatedly. And once you start doing that, then you start seeing yourself as people outside of the church see you. And people in the world see you. I was with my family this week. I got a lot of Christians in my family. I have some that aren't Christians. The ones that aren't Christians, they know all about the Christians. They actually watch. Did you know that? They actually take a look at you. And they don't take a look at you in the way you feel about yourself. They take a look at you in this piece. It's just part of life. Unfortunately, the nephews I have, cousins, first cousins, but they're much younger than me, probably in their 30s. I told my wife, the best couple in the whole family that are fundamental Bible-believing Baptists don't get along with anybody. believing Baptists, but see, they don't see what they do. We see how we feel about ourselves. Are we agreed to that? That's what we see. Unfortunately, my uncle looks at what he does. Can he talk to his own mother? I think I told you this, didn't we? He showed up. We were all there eating, 15 of us. We were all there eating at the pizza place, and I saw him, and I thought, well, that's one of my uncle's kids. I waved at him. I didn't know that he was estranged from the family. Let's read it. By the way, are you listening? See, here's the problem. People sit here and feel very comfortable about themselves. Someday, you just need to sit down and not get over your religion and just ask, how are you living? What do you do? And I think that will probably tell you who you are. So we are not what we believe. So you don't go to a little Bible college or a little one-year program and get your kids all the right doctrine, because that's not who they are. Unfortunately, we are what we love. It's always about what we love. Love to do and do for love. And we love and only love what we repeatedly do. Our habits, customs, rituals, and rhythms. Today, I want to focus on this one word, rhythms. How important is this word in your life? I've been pastoring here a long time. I would say right up front, the most important thing in your life is that word. Until you can make your life revolve around certain rhythms. I was talking to my oldest living uncle. He's younger than my mother. He's 81 almost. And about a month or two back, he said he had to go in for, he found out, he would get up and walk. And he says, every time I walk, I couldn't catch my breath. But he said, I was 80. I thought he was just age. He went in to see the doctor and found out his heart was beating whatever it is. He needed a cardio version. And if he would have continued his heart, look at me, heart not beating in, what happens to you? I thought, what happens to his gut? They have heart attack or stroke or something, correct? Well, because God made you to have a, so if you're a person given to this, and by the way, I'm not preaching to you, I'm just saying, if you're a person given to chaos, meaning you think you're spontaneous, but what you really are is chaotic. I'm not looking for OCD behavior. I'm not looking for you to check off boxes at 6 p.m. I eat at 6:15. You know, none of that. I'm talking about this. There's a rhythm to life. And that rhythm makes life make sense. And without that rhythm, life doesn't make sense. Boy, it doesn't. In your notes. By the way, he did get the cardio. Is it cardio version I'm talking? Is that what they call it? He did get it done. And he said he put his heart right back into rhythm. Dr. Moritz has had it 4 or 5 times. The Lord's Day. It is something you do till it's part of who you are. It becomes, number one, a habit of the week. Now, I have something in your notes. Strangely, the seven-day cycle is the only cycle not somehow built into nature. I don't know if you've ever considered this. A 24-hour cycle is based on what? Rotation of the earth. Not the sun going down. The sun doesn't go any place. He has a degree in science, by the way. But figurative, yes. But it's based on the rotation of the earth. The month is more or less based on the moon. The year, the seasons, and the years are based on the rotation of, you know, how the earth and the sun interact, correct? I don't know if you've ever considered this. The week is not based on anything. The week, do you realize that other cultures, they had longer weeks than we had in the past? They had, some cultures had 10 days. But what's weird is, the farther forward we go, everything becomes about a seven-day week. As I say in your notes, seven-day cycle is not rooted in any natural phenomenon. It's something I believe that God ordained for us to have this rhythm, but it's not part of the way things are. It's not like 24 hours. It's not like a month. It's not like the seasons, and it's not like the year. It is something that God gave us. In your notes, I think it's rooted in three places for the believer. It's rooted in and based upon creation, or God's creative acts and rest. And foundational to any concept of 7 days has to be what? choice. It's part of the 7 days. Genesis 2 says this, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And by the way, God doesn't get tired. He's creating this for us, and he's basing this on creation. In Exodus 20, verse 8, it doesn't tell them to start keeping the Sabbath. It tells them to remember the Sabbath. Why? Because in verse 11 it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. They are to remember that which God had rooted in creation itself. Secondly, it is rooted in and based upon redemption from Egypt. So it's rooted in based on creation. It's also based on redemption from Egypt. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Verse 15 says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So this concept of, and we're not talking about Sabbatarianism, we'll get to that in a moment, but the issue of a rhythm, it roots back to creation. It roots back to redemption from Egypt. It's something that God himself tells us. He roots this in our society. Let me just say this to you. You have children? When children grow up, sometimes they say they don't want to go to church. Somewhere along the line, you have failed not in telling them to go to church. See, telling kids to go to church, really? You have to tell them to take a bath or take a shower? Well, yes, we have a few here that you do. Some can't brush their teeth. Obviously, they kind of missed out on some basics. Folks, much of this isn't about telling kids to go to church. It's a part of this. Do you tell people to breathe? Do you tell them? Everything is a rhythm in life. It just makes life make sense. Everything fits together. Or, as a good American, you can make it up on your own. You can decide God didn't know what he was doing in creation. Have we been doing that in America recently? I will say this, the most profound thing that's ever come out of this mouth that's not directly in the Bible was the day it dawned on me, marriage, one man, how many women? Predate salvation. This is the way God created things. By the way, he also created this concept of a rhythm, one out of seven. So here you are, you've got a 25-year-old kid saying, I don't want to go to church. See, you're 25 years late. You have not built into them this normal rhythm of life, which is part of what we do. Well, it's also obviously rooted in something else. Tim Durham, can you read? See, then you can't read. Pastor Clark can read. Why do I say Tim Durham? And I know you're not Tim Durham. Well, it's not meant to be. I don't mind complimenting you, but Pastor Koch, start reading Matthew 28, and you tell me what it's based on the modern Christian board state, Tim? Yeah? Greek, you would quickly know that's not the normal way they would write something that's connected to the Lord. So this is Kyriakos. It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's supper. I got three old-timers here, and my wife is much younger. You're the oldest. Way older than you, right, Mike? Do you remember Ron Hill? I can remember Pastor Hill used to say something so repeatedly, and this is the honest truth. I used to think, why would he have to tell people this? He would say, if you're going to take a two-week vacation, you know, start, you know, of course you start on Saturday, Sunday, I can't spell. You go through to the next Saturday, Sunday. And then you go through to the next Saturday, Sunday. And you come back to work on Monday. Mike, do you remember this? Yeah, I remember this so plainly. He used to say all the time, if you're going to take a two-week vacation, stay here until Sunday, start on Monday, miss 1 week, come back on Saturday, so you're here for Sunday. I can remember him talking about this over and over, and I would think, why is he saying this? Now, he might have said it for different reasons than I am, but you hear me. Since I've been pastoring, this is what I have found. A third of Lake County Baptist is total chaos, and they don't know it. They just can't figure out the chaos. So what I found, instead of doing this, and by the way, there's somebody in this room that does it. You met this guy? When he goes on vacation for spring break, he stays here Sunday and leaves Sunday night or Monday morning. Other people, Friday night, they're out of town, and they come back. When do they come back? Them? Sunday night at 4 in the morning so their kids are ready for school. Wait a minute. Laugh or don't laugh. Here's the bigger problem. And those kids grew up, and you're wondering, why don't they go to church? You tell me. You haven't built into them a rhythm. By the way, I'm not asking. I'm not into any kind of legalism. I am into one thing. Rhythms in life. Where life just has a way of making sense. There's just something God built into us. He built this into creation, redemption from Egypt, and the resurrection. That's the foundation of why we go to church on Sunday, but it's more than church. It was always considered the day of rest, a time of kind of unwinding. So, Christy, you teach. Do you ever have kids that aren't ready for school on Monday? Not Monday. All right, let's be real. Got three teachers seated together. Three-day weekend. We normally have Monday off. When do the kids usually get back home? Monday night late. Way after bedtime. Crabby as can be, and they're ready for school, right? I have found, if you have a three-day weekend, but Tuesday is worthless. You don't get back to school till Wednesday. Whose fault is that? See, we just don't get simple things. And I think some of it is we're not farmers anymore. I think a farm life tends to lead to this. And I think cities tend to be chaotic. Let me ask you a question. How many times have I spoken and talked about going to bed at a regular time? Except, of course, Friday and Saturday and Sunday night, we go to bed at 4 in the morning. There's something about life, friend. It's not legalism. Look at me. I don't want this to be legalistic. I want this to be your life. Is there something about you that makes sense? And then when you transfer that to your kids, it just kind of makes sense. As opposed to, you got to go to church. I haven't mentioned church yet. We're talking about the Lord's Day, a day of rest, prayer, time alone, turning all the nonsense off. Boy. Not a bad thing. It is the Lord's Day, by the way. I cannot pound this enough. This instruction is only found in two places, the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Day, because this is His. In your notes, let me give you some simple thoughts. The Lord's Day immediately distinguished Christians, or the church, from the Jewish Sabbath, or just the Sabbath, if you prefer, whatever you prefer to write there. I don't know how yours is written. So the Lord's Day immediately distinguished Christians from the Jewish Sabbath, because we're meeting on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, which is Sunday. This day was obvious because of Saturday, and nothing's changed. But Christians meant on the Lord's day, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. Any Bible believer is going to be in the Lord's house on that day with God's people. Next, this was God's predetermined rhythm, a built-in rhythm. I love that. It's something built into the system. It's just kind of what you do. You have this built-in habit. Next, Christians did this as a matter of custom. I don't know if this is in your notes. It's a matter of custom or habit. Intuitive practice without much conscious thought. You don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. This morning when I got up, try to get up at the same time on Sunday every week, more or less, and I get up earlier on Sunday than any other week, so I don't want you to feel sorry for me that I'm the man, it's just Sunday I get up earlier. And I go through all the things I'm going to preach on Sunday. So I'm up this morning early. First thing I do is first same thing I do every day. I don't go in and say, I got to brush my teeth. Then why do your children and grandchildren have such a struggle coming and being part of the church? Because we see church as something, look at me, something you do, not as something that you are. Part of the habits of life is kind of what you do. I didn't spend 30 seconds praying. I didn't spend 4 hours praying. Do I want to brush my teeth? I went in, hit the little button. How about you? Same with, it's just part of intuitive custom. These are all through the Bible. It's usually the Greek word that we get this from. Ethic. Or ethics looks like this. Or sometimes it looks like this. Ethos, but it's ethics. It's the same kind of word. Luke 4:16 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. I mean, folks, it's just intuitive. It's a habit. You don't think about it a lot. Jesus was Jewish, so what did he do on the Sabbath day? Let me guess. Yes, he went into the synagogue. Luke 22:39, we will actually touch on this in Sunday morning sermon. For you that read King James English, I'll let you read this. It says that as he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. I think everybody here except 5 or 6 of you know this. This does not equal this. Does everybody know that? Want is it's a Germanic word, and all it means is heaven. British still use it, believe it or not. The educated Brits still use it. I read books, and Brits will still use it, you know, as he was wont. We don't use that. I don't think we've used that in English before my lifetime. But W-O-N-T does not mean something you want or wish for. It's your habit. As his habit was, he went to the, by the way, this will feed into this morning sermon, because Jesus went to the, he went to the Mount of Olives, to a specific garden, and that was his habit, to go there and pray. That's what the text says. These kind of habits are found all through the Scripture. So, you know, I don't need to, you can read the rest of them. These are some others in your notes. They're just customs, manners, what people do by habit. Next in your notes, in the line of bullet points, the Sabbath and synagogue were used, and this is very important for you to understand. You will have, if you ever run into a Seventh-day Adventist, you'll run into this. They'll go to the book of Acts, and they'll show you Paul going to the synagogue. And you are going to go, boom, 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 boom. And then they start talking about the Catholic Church changing Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, and they get into all these conspiracies. There's no conspiracies. The believers met on the first day of the week right up front, but they did continue to go to the synagogue. Well, at least some of them. Not all of them. You had to be Jewish. Something pertaining to this. We don't have to think about it. See, we have records. There won't be any in public advantage. So the Sabbath and synagogue were used as means of evangelism for as long as opportunity allowed. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Verse 15 says, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation. Word of exhortation is a Jewish way of referring to a sermon. For the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and he preached. Chapter 17, verse 1. They go to Thessalonica, where a synagogue of the Jews was. Verse 2. And Paul, as his, what's that word? It's a little different Greek word, but it means ethic. As his manner was, Paul always went into the synagogue as long as he could to preach the gospel. 17, and it goes on to say, three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the scripture. 17, verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, is it Athens or Athens? Where I'm from, they have a dumb town named, they call it Athens? Why do they say it differently? Athens. It's Athens here. Okay. So Paul waited for them in Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore he disputed in the synagogue. So he went into the synagogue, as he had opportunity, with the Jews and with the devout persons, those Gentiles that gathered themselves to the synagogue. But the ones that didn't, he went into the market, into the agora, daily with them that met with him. So this is a habit. It is, it's simply this, it is a habit of the weak. It's something, something built in by the resurrection, the redemption from Egypt, creation. All three of these has this 7-day cycle. You say, is it wrong to meet on Sabbath day? Not particularly, but Christians from the beginning honored the resurrection, the first day of the week. And they evangelized in the synagogue, at least those who were Jewish, like Paul, for as long as he could. But after AD 70, you don't have much of that. It's not allowed anymore. So it was a habit of the week. Or number two, it's also a habit with the body. We're now stepping forward a little bit and saying, now what exactly is supposed to happen on the Lord's day? Well, on the first day of the week in Acts 20, verse 7, it says, when the disciples came together to break bread, we're pretty sure they had the Lord's Supper, at least on some Sundays, maybe every, we don't know that for sure. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 talks about partaking of the blessings of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, and you know, communing with the Lord and with one another. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. It's not only a habit built into the week, it's a habit with the body. And the body here, I mean, certainly the body of Christ is all believers, but in this case it has to be a local body. There has to be a group of people that you do more than show up, hear preaching, hear teaching. It's something that goes on with the body itself, the local body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says this, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, this is not just talking about a local church, obviously, but it includes a local church, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, what we do, as I say in your notes, this cannot be done as an individual. I think, how do I say this? We can't do this as an individual. Much less can the Lord's Day be about me, myself, and I. So coming to church, I'm going to offend people, and I always offend people, even when I try not to. there and we're sampling it. What's missing is we're not doing anything that has anything to do with the body. It's just about me. When Sam Augustine left this church, I don't know if it's when he left this church. He's been so many places since. He went to Greenville, South Carolina. How many fundamental Baptist churches in here in Greenville? That is correct. Too many. So I recommended one that I thought he could survive in. Sam went to the church about 3 or 4 weeks in his life. This is the church, Greenville. I mean, it's Mecca. Heaven on earth. The next thing to do is a new Jerusalem. He said within 5 minutes, the entire parking lot, in that Southern hospitality, says the entire parking lot is cleaned out on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Why is that? You tell me. Because the hospitality is what? It's superficial. It's hugs, kisses, and go home. You say, I'm getting mad. Get that? It's a fact. I didn't say it, Sam did. Sam said they went there 4 weeks and said, nobody would talk to us. Well, they do the superficial. God bless you, praying for you, hug you. But he says, the moment the church is over, there was no church. The church went back home and watched TV. Football was on. I'm asking you a question now. Where you at? You realize the Lord's day is not about you. But unfortunately, in my 30 years of pastoring, I've never been able to break anybody with that. Now, this church is a very different church. When I came here 20 years ago, sorry, you old guys, number one complaint I heard in this church is how unfriendly it is. 20 plus years later, those people that were here then, most of them, still aren't friendly to anybody other than their family. Now I've really offended people. All you gotta do is watch. The newer people, Clifford and Judy, the two guy, Dada, people like that, reach out to people. Are you with me? Well, we just don't do anything with the body. The body, we come here like we come to a buffet. I like the joke, I like the song, I like the special, I go home. Unfortunately, that's not a church. Never was a church, never will be a church. But I think most people's number one thing on their mind on Sunday morning is going home for lunch and football if you're a guy. Ooh. In your notes. Pastor Warren's going to introduce you to some new English this morning. You don't mind learning new English, do you? I don't know if it's English, but it's going to be English in our church for a long time to come. In your notes, the Lord's Day is a community or a congregational gathering. Which means it's not about me, myself, and I. That's what was before. Much less can the day be about me, myself, and I. The Lord's Day is a community, is a congregational gathering. Another way of saying that, how about this? Instead of going to church, and by the way, we teach our kids this stuff. You know, we're supposed to come to church to worship God. So it's, I see here the next statement in your notes, and this will make sense. The Lord's Day should be about, I know this is shocking, Him and us. But oftentimes the Lord's Day just becomes one more thing that I do if I do it, if I get around to it, if I feel like it, if nothing comes up, if I'm okay, if I'm in the mood, if I'm not tired, if my back doesn't hurt. Did you hear the eyes? It's not about Him and it's not about us. Is it possible? I'm going to ask you a question. Is it possible for a church in America to be about us? And the answer is, I don't know. I think there's a large group that's interested in us. Man, football's calling. one another is. Encourage one another. Forgive one another. Warn one another. Exhort one another. I have given out the page, and some people have it in their Bible, but we still don't do it because we're still individuals. We come to church, it's about me, how I feel, does my back hurt? Really, you spend a lot of time thinking about yourself? It ought to be about Him. It ought to be about us. It ought to be about worshiping the Lord. And it ought to be about one another, one another, one another. I can't even say it. One another, one another. Does that make sense to you? Folks, there's 100 passages in the Bible nearly about this. But my guess, some people, their mind is here, what they're doing, and they're gone. Now, where are you at in this category? Don't kid yourself. Don't talk to me about what you do with your kids in your routines. I said in the church, what do we do? That's the question. Well, I'm not going to read the rest of the verses. They're all about coming together because that's the nature of a church. Lastly, in your notes, number 3. We've talked about habits of the week. Habits with the body. If it isn't with the body, it's really just a smorgasbord. You come, choose what you want, and go home. I got to say this. We've got a couple minutes, and I'll have time. This is the reason the mass churches are so successful today. Do you recognize that? Because mass churches are set up for people who do not want to be known and do not want to know anybody else. And they don't do much teaching and preaching, so you don't have to think. They do a lot. There's a lot of entertainment up on the stage. The congregation doesn't sing. The congregation doesn't speak. And even when they stand up and the people sway, the congregation still is not engaged. They turn the lights off out here. They do a light show up here. You don't know what's going on. All we're doing is continuing to emphasize the individual as opposed to the us. Well, it's got to be habits on purpose. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, it's just what they did. They came together for purposes to break bread, preaching, teaching other things. 1 Corinthians 16:1, Paul just assumes that the church at Corinth, like the churches in Galatia, are going to meet on the first day of the week. And he says, now I want you to take up the special offerings for the poor in Jerusalem on this day, because you're going to meet that day. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What strikes me in this text is this is instinctive, it's intuitive, the intuitive, instinctive nature of this. The habits of simple, gospel-centered, congregation-oriented praying, singing, giving, fellowshipping, hearing, reading, teaching, preaching the scripture, the Lord's Supper, meeting needs. These are habits. So everyone look at me. We are not what we believe. You can believe anything. Listen, we teach doctrine, but that doesn't change people's life, does it? Because their life is television. I've asked women in this church, I'm going to do it again in the future, remove the toys from the husband. See how he does. Most men would have a stroke. By the way, what would happen if you turned off the electricity in your house for 2 weeks? Not in the winter, but in the normal time. And there were no games or toys. How would you do? How would you do? As long as the plumbing is good. And you can get some food. Habit of the week with the body